I wonder this morning, have you ever been so hungry or thirsty that you were desperate for something to eat or drink? Has anybody been just desperately hungry? I've got a few hands. It's mostly kids, but let's talk about it. I'm talking about a pang of hunger, a parched thirst that leaves you so desperate that you're willing to get that drink of water from a puddle on the street. Have you ever been that thirsty? Kids, parents, you need to have conversation with your kids back there. Have you ever been so hungry that you're willing to jump into a dumpster to find a half-eaten burger to finish eating? Have we ever actually been that hungry or that thirsty? Many of you might scoff at that idea. Some of you, by the looks of your faces when you're raising your hands, that might sound fun for you. Parents, don't worry. There's lots of restaurants in Oskaloosa. You can find plenty of dumpsters for them to find their lunch today or their supper since we're serving lunch here. But we might scoff at that idea, and many of us think, I would never stoop that low. I would never do such a thing. I would never drink from a puddle on the street. I would never dumpster dive for food. But when you're desperate, you're willing to do what it takes. And that's where we're going today. So we're continuing on in our journey through the Beatitudes sermon series. And today the Beatitude is about thirsting, being thirsty and hungry for righteousness. When we look at athletes, we see the athletes that are very well paid. Their name is well known. And if you know anything about me, I'm not a sports guy. So this is a little bit off of script for me to talk about sports and athletes. But we all know that athletes, the well-known ones, are better paid than the lesser-known ones. Can we agree to that? The better paid ones, they tend to rest on their achievements and they don't have much as strong of a drive to win. And sometimes the critics look at these superstars and they say, well, they're not being very hungry. Whereas the younger player who's not established and doesn't get the big bucks yet, he is hungry. They are hungry. They're hungry to make a name for themselves. They're given 100% of their effort and they are desperate to make it to the point where the superstars, the older athletes, sit. And when someone passionately commits to their task, what do we say? When somebody is desperately working towards their task, we say that they are hungry for it. You are hungry. So my question to you this morning, church, is what are you desperately pursuing? What is it that you are hungry and thirsty for? For some, it might be the iPhone, right? Do you desire the new iPhone? What does today's world tell us to do? To just buy it, put it on credit, make monthly payments. You want the new vehicle? Nah, just make payments on it. Go ahead and get it. Be done. Have that instant gratification. If you desire a new job, what do? You get one, right? You go find a new job. If you're desperate for more money, what do? You work more. You sell stuff, right? You find a way to make money. What if it's a new house in today's market? No, don't buy a new house. The rates are way too high. But if you want a new house, what do? You buy one or you build one. If you can't find one within your price range or what you want, you build one. The point of all of this is, and just side note here, I am not supporting going and putting an iPhone on credit. I'm not supporting putting cars on credit. I'm not consumer credit we don't like. Sometimes I understand it's necessary, but don't do it unless you have to, okay? There's my side note. Don't go into debt just to achieve your instant gratification. People spend their whole lives chasing after these things that they think will make them satisfied. That the hunger and the thirst that they have will be filled when they get it. When in truth, that hunger cannot be filled, it cannot be satisfied with anything or anyone other than a relationship with God. They try to find it in all the pleasures of life, and I can tell you that it fails them every single time. They remain hungry and thirsty, and they are full of desperation, while the fulfillment of that satisfaction is just right there. All they have to do is turn to Jesus, and everything in their life would be satisfied. I hope you have your Bible with you today. If not, I hope somebody next to you has one that you can look on with. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And I don't know if Emma and the worship team, I don't know if you read ahead in the Beatitudes, but we sang, "We are hungry. We are hungry and we are thirsty for more of you." And how fitting for this, because here's what our Beatitude says as we get to our Beatitude this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Let me read that one more time. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." Now, this Beatitude is arguably the most important lesson of the whole Sermon on the Mount. And why do I say that? Because without having an intense desire, without having a hunger, without having a thirst for righteousness, a person does not pursue a deeper relationship with God. So if we don't desire more of God, we're not going to pursue more of God. And it leads us to a point where we no longer try to develop the rest of the character traits that Jesus wants us to have as we walk with Him. So we can say today that this verse, this lays the foundation for godly living, and that is to hunger and thirst for righteousness. That is the foundation to the Christian life. And before we can pursue righteousness, don't we have to have an understanding of righteousness is? So here's what righteousness is. Righteousness is the quality. It would have helped if I would have put the scripture up on the overhead when I read it, wouldn't it? Here's what righteousness is. Righteousness is the quality of being right in the eyes of God. The quality of being right in the eyes of God. And being right in the eyes of God means living and doing what God calls us to do and how to act, how to be, and being holy because He is holy. So we are to be righteous. We're to seek righteousness. As followers of Jesus, here's what we have to do. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us, to empower us, and to help us become righteous. Can any one person on their own become righteous? No, it's not possible, right? So your and my spiritual condition throughout our entire lives, every stage of life that we go through, and if you know, you do go through stages of life. Can somebody testify, right? There's stages of life that we go through. There's different things and different struggles and different winds, valleys, mountains that we go through. And our spiritual condition throughout our whole life depends on our hunger and thirst for righteousness, our hunger and thirst for the things of God. And the hunger and thirst, this isn't a fleeting desire. This isn't something that just is very quickly fulfilled, like, here in a little bit, we're going to go downstairs and we're going to eat. If you're hungry, guess what? Your desire to be fed is completed. You will, and if you leave here hungry, it's your fault. Okay? There's plenty of food downstairs. But the point is, this isn't this hunger and thirst for righteousness is not a fleeting desire, like fulfilling getting a drink of water in your stomach or getting food in your stomach. This hunger and thirst for righteousness is a deep longing for God's righteousness and His presence to be ever in our life. That means every moment of every day, God's presence is with you. We must thirst for that. And in fact, the Bible, did you know the Bible's full of examples like that? The Bible has, and I'm just going to hit on two of them here, but there are examples of people who hungered and thirsted after the Lord. And here's the two I want to share. The first one is Moses. Moses was a man known to hunger and to thirst for God. In fact, if you look at Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it says, "The Lord and Moses spoke as friends face to face." Anybody else met the Lord face to face? No. So if we go on to Exodus chapter verse 13 there, Moses says, "Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." Jump to verse 18. Moses said, "Please show me your glory." Are you seeking after the glory of God this morning? The psalmist in Psalms 42, verse 2, the psalmist says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" See, the psalmist knew that just as water is necessary for physical life, right? We get thirsty. We have to drink water. That's part of just keeping our bodies operational. Some of you might drink Pepsi instead of water because you think water's gross. Listen, water is life-giving. Put the Pepsi down and drink some water. Amen? The psalmist knew that as water is necessary for physical life, they also knew that our spiritual life, God was necessary. God's presence was necessary for our spiritual life, the completeness, the complete satisfaction, and the wholeness of everything around us is wrapped up in being in God's presence. So are you thirsty for the Lord this morning? Those who truly trust God will have an intense hunger and an intense thirst for deeper relationship with Him. Now, this isn't for me to judge. This isn't for anybody else to judge. This is between the Lord and yourself this morning. Do you have a deep desire to be closer to God every day, different than what you were today? Do you seek Him, His favor, and His supernatural activity in your life every single day? This hunger and thirst that we're speaking about today, it's not naturally occurring. It doesn't happen. So like if we don't eat food, what happens? Eventually we get hungry, right? If we don't drink water, eventually we get thirsty. Naturally occurring hunger. But this hunger and thirst that I'm talking about today, we have to foster it. We have to want it. We have to desire it and we have to seek it. What this means is total commitment to the Lord. Because when you get a small taste of the Lord, then that should leave you more hungry and more thirsty. And that pursuit of Him becomes greater and greater. And it means pursuing Him with every fiber of who we are. Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That sounds like every fiber of your being, doesn't it? Now, I'm sure that we've all heard the adage, hot or cold, growing or backsliding. And I'm going to say today that there's either a hunger and thirst or there isn't. There's either hunger and thirst after the Lord in your life or there isn't. And here's the thing, there's danger in that. If you find yourself not knowing if you're hungry or thirsty for the Lord, listen, here's a warning. When Christians lose their desire for God's righteousness, when they lose their desire to pursue Him, they start to die like an unwatered plant. Now, you might be thinking, well, I have some hardy plants. I only water them once a year. Listen, every plant will eventually die if it doesn't have water. Therefore, we must not allow anything to destroy our desire to know more of God. Now, there are things that would try to rob us of our desire of God. There's distractions. Who knows, Satan likes to use distractions, right? I could argue right now that we have a big distraction in front of us, right? Trying to grab our attention, focus us elsewhere. But here's some things that might try to jump in and pull our, well, choke out. Let's say that, choke out our hunger and thirst for God. We must not become distracted by these circumstances, such as worry. Do we all worry in here? Right? Come on, right? We all worry. Don't let worry distract you. What about your success? What if we're so focused on our success that the success becomes what we're hungry and thirsty after and not the presence of the Lord? What about attractions? We can become hungry and thirsty off of attractions and also from pleasures. Sum everything up in these four categories: worry, successes, attractions, and pleasures. These things will cause us to fail to trust Christ and to stay in a right relationship with Him. It goes something like this. One day, we don't spend time in our Word, our Bible, right? This is the bread of life. Or we might find a day where we don't spend time in prayer. We don't sit in communion with the Lord and pray. What happens the next day? We all of a sudden it becomes easier to not do it again. And then next thing we know, where are we at? We're a month down the line, and we don't know the last time we even spoke to God. We don't know the last time we picked up our Bible and said, Lord, I just want to learn more about you today. Reveal yourself to me. And then next thing you know, it's been a month, it's been a year, and now we don't have any idea of where our relationship with the Lord stands. Eventually, we come to a point where we start to try to fill that hunger, that desire to be fulfilled through the Lord with other worldly options that will only leave you unsatisfied. I won't say names. I have a relative that has been married 5 times. We always talk about Jesus. Sounds to me like they're chasing happiness and a satisfaction to that hunger and thirst for a relationship in a marriage that's never going to satisfy the same way God the Father can. That is the type of chasing satisfaction that I'm talking about. So how do we curb this? How do we stop this from happening? How do we keep this from being what overtakes us? You ready? Going back to your first love. Go back to your first love. Meaning go back to the point where you came into relationship with the Lord Jesus. When you realize your need for Him, what He saved you from, what He freed you from, the sins that He forgave you from, go back to your first love and remember the start of His work in your life. We must also pray. If we haven't prayed for a week, I recommend that before you leave here today, you pray. We must pray that our desire for God's presence become deeper and stronger every single day. Praying this prayer, praying a prayer like that, requires us to be open to the Holy Spirit's gifts, direction, and power in our lives. If we're not open to the Holy Spirit guiding us, how do we know if we're being led, right? We have to listen and have our ears open to what the Holy Spirit is calling us to. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, by the way. Don't think that they're two separate. They're not. It's God's Spirit leading us back to God. Here's the other thing you can do. You can open your Bible. If you go like this, it's amazing. Words appear on the page. No words, words. It's a magic trick, I promise. Open your Bibles. You can read this Word every single day. And if you're not reading your Bible daily, here's what you're doing. You're doing a great disservice to yourself. You're putting yourself in a situation where you're becoming less hungry and less thirsty for the Lord's righteousness. It can also be through serving others through the church, lending a hand in any sense of the word, and doing for others what Jesus would do for them helps us to point our mind towards the things of Christ, and it helps to create that hunger and thirst for more righteousness. So for our kitchen workers today, I know most of them are not in the room right now because they're downstairs making sure our crock pots aren't burning our potato chips. However, service through the church brings us closer to a relationship with God. It creates a desire for righteousness. And then here's something that might shock you a little bit, and maybe because it doesn't get talked about enough in the church. Having accountability. Having accountability in your relationship with God. Because this doesn't get talked about much, we don't see it as much happening in the church. And we need accountability. We need accountability throughout the church. So seek an accountability partner. Seek someone who you trust, who has your best interest at hand. Seek someone that you can share with, Seek someone that you can challenge, where the two of you can challenge each other in your relationship with God. Here's what this does. It creates a climate where righteousness is sought after, a deeper, more intense desire to seek His righteousness. When we're being challenged in our relationship by somebody else who's we're trying to challenge, if you have an off week and you didn't open your word, but they read their word every day that week, and this is what the Lord's speaking to them, but you didn't hear the Lord speak to you at all because you never once opened your Bible, that leaves us two choices. Stop the accountability partner or open our Bible. I hope you choose to open your Bible, right? It's never too late to open your Bible, right? If it's been a year since you've opened your Bible and you just don't open your Bible now because you think, oh, you know, the Lord's not going to. Yes, He will. He will speak to you. Open your Bible. Hear what He has to say. And lastly, it's this. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide. Allow the Holy Spirit to correct. Allow the Holy Spirit to transform your heart and your mind, because He gives us the mind of Christ. We will naturally want more of God's righteousness as we let the Holy Spirit lead us in our lives. And this verse ends with the Lord Jesus giving us a promise, and it's to satisfy those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So if you're hungry and thirsty this morning, you're going to go down, you're going to have some food, you're going to find some satisfaction. But the Lord Jesus promised says to satisfy us in a way that we can't even begin to imagine when we thirst and we hunger after His righteousness. So I wonder this morning, will you find satisfaction? Will you find satisfaction in Him? Emma, if you want to come on up. The last few weeks and the weeks to come, we're being challenged to dig in. We're being challenged to focus and make priority with our relationship with Jesus, to be intentional in everything that we say and we do. The outcome of all of this is bringing others into God's kingdom. Did you hear me this morning? All of this brings us to a point where we are building God's kingdom. So if we as individuals, if we as a church, and as individuals, if you're a new visitor here, you may not know, but here's what we believe. We believe that God put our church here to engage our community for Jesus. That means we have an outreach-minded focus where we go and we connect people with the Lord Jesus. And so if we as individuals, if we as a church, if we subscribe to engaging our community for Jesus, here's what we have to do. We must listen to and apply Jesus' words to our life. Have you ever tried to build something without the instructions, and eventually you go back to the instructions? Anybody? Everybody's too ashamed to raise their hand. If we don't apply Jesus' words to our lives, how can we expect for anything to change in our lives? We must hunger and thirst for righteousness. I would just encourage you to bow your head, close your eyes this morning. I just want to talk to everybody individually here. We're a Pentecostal church. We believe that God's Spirit is alive and well. We believe that He speaks to us. And we believe that He's calling each of us into His kingdom. And this morning I want to ask you, are you hungry for righteousness? Do you seek to be in a relationship with God? Have you maybe walked away from that relationship and you realize, I need to be back at the feet of Jesus. I need to be in the presence of God every day. The only way to get ourselves there is a relationship with Jesus. It is the start of our desire for righteousness. So whether this is in a brand new way, this is in a fresh way, you've never said it, or you've said it and you've been out of the church for so long, you're back and you're saying, Lord, I want to be hungry for You. I want to renew myself to You this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you this morning, would you please just raise your hand for a brief moment? Amen. Praise God. Church, hands all around the room. We're going to pray together here this morning, and I'd like the whole church to pray with me. But here's what you need to know. I feel like a broken record when I say this, But the truth of it is, these words don't save you. What we're about to pray does not save you. What does is what's in your heart. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So this is a heart condition, not a word condition. So church, would you pray together with me this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for my sins. I recognize that I am a sinner, that I need to be forgiven. So I receive your forgiveness. I commit myself to you from this day forward. Develop in me a hunger and thirst for your righteousness. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, I'll just have you know, church, we had 5 individuals, whether new or fresh, 5 individuals raise their hand. So now here's what happens. Get in your Word. Open your Bible. Start to read it. You've made a confession today. You've made a commitment to the Lord today. I can't make you follow through on that commitment. Nobody can make you follow through. You have to want to follow through with that commitment. So get in your Word this morning. Get in your Word. And for everybody here, I see a lot of people getting ready to leave for lunch. Listen, being hungry and thirsty for righteousness, it's not a Sunday-only thing. It's not something where we put on our righteous pants and our thirsty shirt and we walk to church and we look the part, we play the part, but rather it's a lifestyle. It's every choice, it's every action, every word, every single day that brings us to a point of desiring more of Jesus Christ. It's desiring to be closer to Him, to be more like Him, and to share in His holiness. So church, let me ask you this morning, how hungry are you? How thirsty are you for His presence in your life? Are you willing to pursue God the same way you pursue making sure you have food and drink every single day? Are you willing to pursue Him if it means you miss a food and drink in a day? Today is the day that you get to choose to desperately pursue righteousness. Today is the day that we get to ask God to give us that thirst and righteousness for more of Him, that thirst and hunger, rather, for His righteousness in our lives. I know that we're all hungry, but if you'll hang with me for a minute, as our teens get ready to lead us in a worship song, I would encourage you, as we bring this down to a close and we're getting ready for food, before we all race downstairs to see who can get in line first, let's take some time to pursue God. Let's take some time to seek after Him. Let's pursue and develop that righteousness in our lives. Church, here's what my desire is, that each and every one of us would leave here today with more thirst and more hunger for His righteousness in our lives. Amen? So as we close, the altars are open. I want to pray with you. My board's willing to pray with you. Let's seek the Lord before we go and have food. Amen.